Welcome, my friend. You are listening to Read Clean YA with CJ, the podcast for teens and young adults who want to explore exciting worlds, deep themes, and epic stories without the objectionable content. I'm your host, award-winning young adult author CJ Malacy, and in this episode, we are going to dive into an author interview with a friend who has been on this show before, E.A. Hendricks. E.A. Hendricks is an award-winning author, graphic designer, photographer, and podcaster living in Indiana with her husband, two dogs, and a cat named Pages. She writes fiction in multiple genres and spends more time on Instagram than she probably should. She grew up on a steady diet of Star Trek and Nancy Drew and believes that every idea is better in space. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be back.
I am thrilled to have you back. I think this is your third time on the podcast. We've had you on for books 1 and 2 in the Zaris Galaxy saga. And now we're here for book 3, which is Rising from the Galaxy. And I am so excited for this. Before we dive in, could you share a little bit about this third book in your series?
Absolutely. So I will. I'll caveat this by saying, even saying who the characters are for book 3 is a bit of a spoiler. So I've been very careful to kind of just leave that very vague, which I think is fine.
Definitely.
If you've read the first book, it'll be the same kind of feeling, of course, but more epic. So basically for book 3, everything is coming to a head within what we call the resistance, which is the rising. And we've got a main character, our hero, who is finally embracing who he was meant to be, which I think is a really fun arc for him. And then we have another, our female main character, who is coming in and showing a bit more of her true colors in this book. And of course, they have a bit of a romance going on there, which is really fun for me for this third book because it is a second chance romance. So that's a bit of an insight. They did know each other before. But in the midst of that, we also have the other characters from books 1 and 2. So Tally and Renner from book 1, and then Merritt and Leaf from book 2. So they're all kind of giving their viewpoint. I mean, this is just, we're going for broke here,
yes.
Which has to happen, I think, at the end of a series, is that you, as I'm sure we'll talk about, have to tie up all of those loose ends. And so everybody comes together, but also want it to be really epic. So I've been saying that book 3 is a little like Avengers Endgame meets a spacey gladiator with a twist of Red Queen by Victoria Aveyard. So if you like any of those things, you like space and you like a touch of fantasy with your science fiction, this series might be something for you to consider checking out.
Yes, I love it. This series is so much fun. I have read books 1 and 2. I have not read book 3 yet, but I have loved it every step of the way. And the fun thing has been that Emily and I have been writing our young adult novels kind of in sync with one another unintentionally. We didn't plan this. It just happened to work out well. And so we're both writing the last book in our series. And I was like, we have to talk about this because there's something about it. And I know in this podcast, we really highlight the book. But I think for readers, there's something exciting to know a series is going to be fully finished and complete. Mm-hmm. And what is that like? We wanted to give you a little bit of the behind the scenes from the author's perspective today of what does it feel like to wrap up the final book in your series. So Emily, as you have been crafting this book, this whole series has been epic. Suspended in the Stars was like the greatest showman in space. And then you had Falling Through the Black, which I loved that book, I think even more than Suspended in the Stars. And it's just the excitement, the anticipation of what's coming, the corruption that has been revealed through this series, everything feels like it's building to this epic conclusion. So what is it like to now be in the place where you're writing that conclusion?
Scary. Because of that, it is very weighty, and in a good way. I mean, I feel a responsibility to the readers that I think I didn't feel specifically in the first book. We talked about this in the podcast in the past, but for those who might be new, I actually blogged Suspended in the Stars on my blog in August of 2020. And that was, gosh, years ago, obviously, but also just a fun experiment. And by the time I got to the end, I was only halfway through the book, but I was able to kind of just write however I wanted. You know, no one was paying for it at that point. It was all free and it was just an experiment. And in doing that, there's a lot of freedom. More so than I think when I've written other books specifically to pitch those out to publishers or something like that. So kind of trying to capture that freedom in book three is a little harder. Not that it makes the process any less fun, because it is a ton of fun, but it is more of a responsibility to, I want to uphold like the promises that I've put forth in the very first book, which was just two main characters, and trying to capture that in the third book with, we're nearing on maybe 7 or 8 points of view.
Wow.
Just depending on what I decide to do with it towards the end, because I'm not quite there yet. I mean, it's plotted, but still working my way through writing the end. So kind of trying to keep that smallness in the midst of the epicness has actually been maybe the most challenging part. So I just enjoy it, and it's a good challenge, but I'm also really cognizant of my initial readers and how they kind of expected one thing. And so I don't want to totally swap it, but yes, at the same time, it just has to expand. It absolutely has to. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you felt something similar, because you've got a, what do they call 4? I know like 5 is something, what do they call like 4 books?
Oh, I don't remember. I learned the name of it before, but I don't know now. But yes, there's something quad. I don't know. Not a trilogy, 4 books.
Right.
But yeah, no, I completely understand what you're saying, because those new characters that you love from each book, now you need to tie up in a satisfactory way the end of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to tie up all those threads, but it is amazing how long the book gets as you're trying to do that. So it is exciting. There's something nerve-wracking about it. And I know, even like you trying to talk about the last book in the series, I'm like, I've barely tried to write my back cover blurb, you know, that talks about the series, because I'm like, how do you write the last thing when it's like, well, if you haven't read books 1, 2, 3, like you're going to get all these spoilers. So it is an interesting challenge. But yet I know as a reader, it's important to me to have a story and a series end well. So there's an interesting pressure that comes with the final book hitting the road. But I think there's also something satisfying as an author to write that, because it's all been building to this. As much as there's the stress and the scariness, like you said, it is a little scary. There is something exciting, because finally you're bringing to a conclusion this thing that's been in your head for years. I mean, 2020, that was 5 years ago almost, you know, that's crazy. And now you're wrapping it up, at least, you know, as much as it will wrap up in the series. And that's wild and exciting and terrifying, like any big thing, I think, in life.
Yeah, I think I've also given myself a little bit of a break. And we see this in, I mean, we see it in Star Wars, we see it in a lot of different movies, but or even like Avengers, like I mentioned, when you come to the end of something, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is perfect. It doesn't mean that, you know, the world is suddenly, everything is great. But it does mean that as a writer, we look at this, right? The main resolution to the conflict is there. So I've been kind of asking myself as I'm going along to kind of shift my perspective. Okay. What does it look like to have victory in a sense? Because I mean, that is a spoiler, I guess, but like I write happy endings. So I'm going to have, you know, a happy ending.
Yeah.
It's how I get there that makes it fun. Right. But just thinking about that in, okay, what does it look like then to have that feel satisfying and happy, but then also to realize that there's still going to be pockets of rebellion. And that's just very natural. So that kind of helped a lot in thinking, okay, I don't have to have a bow on every single thing, just the main things.
I completely understand what you're saying. And it is life, right? Even in the greatest, most exciting, most fulfilling moments of life, there's mixed emotions that can happen. You know, that's why someone can be so happy they're crying, or there's these things in life, it's bittersweet sometimes. And I think when you can capture that in a story, it just makes it all the more relatable to the readers, because we all know the joy of victory, but also the pain of defeat or the pain of the losses we've experienced on the way to that victory and all of that. So it is an interesting thing as an author to be like, okay, I can't perfectly wrap this, because also I don't think that feels real to the readers. The books that I've read that they're kind of putting a bow on at the end, you're like, great, no one ever lives that way. That is never this is never how this happens, you know, and it just feels a little blah by the time you're done. You don't want it to be sad, but it's, or at least I don't like sad endings, but you want it to feel real, because you've walked for hours and pages through these books with these characters. You've lived with them, so to speak, in your mind. You've experience this escape with them. And now it's like, okay, I want to feel like they're still real. And when it all gets tied up with a perfect little bow at the end, suddenly the feeling that they're real, that you can join them in outer space at any moment, you know, it goes away. And so I love that perspective of it doesn't have to be perfectly tied up. Plus, you never know what spin-off series might spin off after something like that.
Absolutely. And it's kind of interesting too, because I mean, I'm writing young adult, as are you, and that means my characters are like 17, 18. So it is upper adult in age, but not necessarily in theme, you know, like we're not talking about, oh, they're getting married tomorrow, but that's not part of it, right? And so, well, it could be, I don't know, I won't really say anything definitively here, but in that kind of perspective, like, okay, you may have won an aspect of the war or a good portion of it, but you've still got some places to go, I think, which is a good thing. And I personally like that in books, because then it lets my imagination kind of be like, oh, what could happen next? You know?
I agree. One of the things that I love that you do with your books is you pre-release them on Kickstarter, and you are currently doing that right now for book 3 in the series. So could you share with our listeners a little bit about why you love Kickstarter for them as readers?
Absolutely. I mean, I have to give you credit first and foremost, because I probably not have done Kickstarter had it not been for me helping you with your first book in, well, not helping you, but doing your cover and then
helping me have a cover people wanted to buy.
But in that sense of like, I got to go through the process with you, you know, I helped you with the graphics and things at that point. And getting to kind of just see behind the curtain, if I will, as an author, what it could mean to put out books that way, to start your books there, was really eye-opening. When did Recruit of Talionis come out? I forget the...
It was in 2022.
2022, okay.
Yeah.
So the book had been sitting, right? We'd pitched it out. My agent had sent it out everywhere and got a lot of very kind rejections, just because it's a hard sell. Sci-fi is never easy. Right. But after that, I did let it sit. And then, you know, I helped you. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, well, this is a great option. So for me, bringing especially book 1 to Kickstarter, I mean, it was obviously a little daunting because there's so many things to consider and that you have to pull together, which I know you know. But at the same time, I thought that it was going to be the best way for me to put out the book in a very like top tier way, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
I wanted to be able to do a print run for the paperbacks and the hardcovers. I wanted to have a stamped hardcover. That was kind of like my initial like, ooh, if I could do this, then I really would have made it.
Yes.
but then also just the community aspect of it, in having readers get the choice between, you know, stretch rewards and all these different things. That to me was really appealing, because I, on my Instagram, I really try to push community, whether that's you're a writer and you need community, or whether you're a reader or just a person, we all need community. And to me, that was like a great way, a great platform to do that. So I realized, and it's so funny to me, I look back on the first campaign, and at that point, I did have people who wanted to read the book. They had been with me since it had been blogged, and I'm not sure if you can hear my cat purring next to my microphone, but she is here. But anyways, I had people asking, like, when is it going to come live? So I knew there was a bit of an audience, but when I look back at that campaign, I really didn't share much about the book. I mean, I did, but I was like, look, it's pretty, and it's like The Greatest Showman meets Star Wars. And people were like, okay. You know, obviously, it took more than that, but I just didn't have a ton, maybe in my story section, just because that's kind of the way that I do things. I just give the vibes.
Yes.
And that has helped then in, you know, the second campaign for Falling Through the Black. Obviously just drew in more people for that as well. And the same thing has happened for the third. So that's not going to be the case for everybody who's running a Kickstarter, because, you know, if you don't have a book out, like I did with my first book, people had read my writing. So that helped a lot. But anyways, it's a little of a tangent, but I just think it's kind of funny, because I'm like, I just kind of went for it and hoped that it would work out, and it did. But yeah, I love bringing a book to Kickstarter, just because it does allow people to have that input. It has that community aspect. And then also it's just a lot of fun. It's a little nerve-wracking, because you have to get everything ready, and you know, you only have so many days and all this stuff and the backer updates and everything. But to me, that's only making the book better. We've done things that I never would have been able to do had I just published the book through Ingram Spark and Amazon or something. The hardcovers now have end papers and things like that. It's just really a really special addition to me that has then also helped me go on to have those paperbacks to sell in person and just make new connections that way.
I love it. And yes, I am a big fan of Kickstarter. And I think it's a great way to connect with readers because it is different. You know, on Amazon, you can read through reviews and you can write reviews and that kind of thing, but you can't actually connect with other readers, right? So if you love a book and you write a review and someone else loved it, you can like it, but you can't really talk to that person. Whereas on Kickstarter, there can be conversations between backers and they can have comments that they write based off of the backer updates and all of that. And there's something fun because you can, as the author, communicate with them as well. And I love that community element to Kickstarter that allows us to kind of pull down the walls that are erected from these other big stores. And we can have conversations and talk about, wait, what do you want in the book? And everyone can now have an opinion and an idea. And like you said, bring it to life in a way that we never would have seen as indie authors on our own. And I think there's something fun for the backers as well, because as a reader, getting a book is always fun. I love book mail. If it comes from Amazon, I still love it. I love getting the book. I love opening it. I love that new book feel. I'm always upset if Amazon messed it up, but you know, I like it when I get a new book. There's something thrilling. But as a Kickstarter backer, when you get a new book from someone who you backed on Kickstarter, it is another level of exciting because you don't just get the book. You get usually lots of swag. And if you back Emily's books, you get
a lot of swag.
All the swag. It is so much fun. You get stickers and bookmarks and collecting cards. And there are so many fun things that it becomes this gift to yourself that you get a couple months later and you almost forget that you're getting something so epic. But in the process, you get to say what you want. So right now there's like a stretch goal Emily has running, or a flash goal, which is just this little extra bonus, which I think you've already hit. Am I right that you, it's already been hit. She had this flash goal though for an extra sticker. If X amount of new backers came in, every physical tier backer would get a sticker added in. It was it's this adorable little drawing of
a robot. It's
so cute. So all of the backers now, because she hit that flash goal, we all get an adorable sticker you can pop on your water bottle or wherever. And it's just so much fun that you get that added in along with so many other things. And Emily has these beautiful copies of her book because of Kickstarter, and including the end pages. She does some with sprayed edges and all this stuff. So if you love books and collecting books, I think Kickstarter is one of the ways for readers that it really can elevate your bookshelf, which though you can't see this as a listener right now, both Emily and I have beautiful bookshelves full of books behind us. And it is something that I know I love when I can add a new, special, beautiful copy of a book to my shelf. And it's something that Kickstarter lets you do in a unique way, at least from my perspective, from what I've seen.
Well, yeah. And even with, I mean, now we see a lot of really fancy books being created by traditional publishers because they're saying, oh, hey, this is a thing. Readers want this. But even still, it kind of like cuts out a little bit of that personal connection because I sign every single book. There's an option for people to add on if they want it to be personalized because I love doing that. But I love that fact of like, I'm the one. I mean, there are some people who have to use fulfillments, which I totally understand. Like if they can't fulfill their campaign alone because it's so large, I'm not at that point yet. I don't know. And I'm totally fine with that because really it's me and my husband. We're packing up these books. So every package I get my hands on and I don't do pretty. And there's a reason for that. I don't want to pay extra for materials that people will throw away. So I go functional.
Yes.
And I let people know this ahead of time. I love like a beautiful box. I love like all the, you know, fancy papers. But personally, I think about more, and my husband thinks about this, especially because he used to work for the post office. But I think about functional and what is going to get to you as like sturdy as possible. So it may not look super pretty initially, but I promise inside it's pretty.
Beautiful inside.
But you know, like that's just to me that is an aspect of creating this book that takes it to like a level beyond. because when I sell on Amazon or sell on, you know, Barnes and Noble, Target, wherever, I never see those books. I never get to handle them. Like, I'm so yeah. thankful when people purchase them, but it just kind of like happens without me. And so this is a really fun way to have these like really special editions go out, and they have a lot of love behind them, and they're coming from our home.
Yes. Yes. And actually, to jump off of that, how has running Kickstarters changed with the way you interact with readers? Because that is a unique experience to know I'm packing a book, mm-hmm. I'm putting a stamp on it for this particular person. I know who's getting it. Mm-hmm. How has that changed, or has it changed in any way that you've interacted with your readers?
Well, I've noticed too, especially since this is my third campaign and it is all in the same series, I'm seeing repeat names, and I personally try to go and thank every backer. I am only at about 100 right now, so I've got at least 117 at the moment of this recording to go, so I'm a little behind. But to me, there is something really special. I don't copy and paste. I might say some of the same things, but I type every one of them out in it because I want to intentionally connect with people. And I am honestly, genuinely thankful for their support. Also because I think these campaigns came a little closer to each other, because my second book was a little delayed in printing due to some printing issues. So that just went out at the end of last year, and now we're already in March. So I'm like really remembering names right now. And so just to thank people for coming back is so huge. And I do then get to connect with them on Instagram, which I absolutely love. So to me, it's not just, oh, I've gained a reader. It's more of like, oh, I've gained a friend. Even if I don't know them super well, I see their names. I see them interacting with my posts on Instagram. And that is like really special. There's not that ability, I think, as much when you, not that you can't have that. Obviously, you totally can. But I think Kickstarter kind of allows for you to have that a little easier. There's a lot of chat back and forth, and other authors are on there. So it's just like a really neat, like little community that kind of keeps growing.
Yes, I found that as well. And there is something unique about seeing these people who you never knew before your first Kickstarter. And then they came for book one, book two, and now here they are again, book three. And that is a really neat thing. And we don't, again, I use Amazon, so I'm not saying Amazon is evil, but it is impersonal. Mm-hmm. And Kickstarter allows us to be personal. And I think for me, that's been a huge change in the way I've been able to interact with readers, which has been a blast, because there is something heartwarming about knowing, oh, you liked the book enough that you're back here. And we do get to see your names. And for the readers out there who are like, does it matter if I'm back? It does. Mm-hmm. Like, it really makes a difference. It's exciting for us, but it's also because we get to see that you are a part of it and you're excited. And that enthusiasm is why I keep going back to Kickstarter personally, because when I get emails from readers or posts on Kickstarter or messages, and it's, this was so much fun, this was such a blast to be a part of, or I can't wait for the next Kickstarter, that just gets me excited. Kickstarters are not easy on the back end, but they are so worth it because of that connection that you get that you don't really get in any other element unless you're in person with readers. I don't think that you can really connect on the same level, quite the same, you know, in terms of those who actually are purchasing your book.
Yeah. Well, and you're kind of heading into this, but I have noticed a bit of a change since this is the third and final in this trilogy book.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And I love that I can be able to kind of offer those as a set, because it's hard to like, well, I'm doing this Kickstarter for Rising from the Galaxy, which is book three, but I know and I'm hoping that there are new people to the series. And so I'm also trying to like walk that line of pitching it as a series to new readers. But I've also gained readers along the way who maybe have just read the first book or maybe the second on ebook, and now they want to collect the hardcover editions. So just seeing people come and like back the trilogy is really fun too, because I'm like, well, you're either new to the series or you really liked it and you wanted the special editions.
Yes.
And that to me is really fun. It also makes it a little bit easier to be like, hey, this is all done.
you can
read it once I'm done with it from start to finish, which I know you'll head into too with your fourth book. So that's just really, really fun. There are going to be readers out there too who wait and they want to read a whole series. You know, they don't want to have to like do that yearly thing, which I respect.
I do too.
So
I do too.
It's really fun to be able to say like, okay, here it is. I'm finally there.
Definitely. Definitely. And honestly, I have been that reader for certain series. And honestly, not going to lie, I probably would have been that reader for my own series if I hadn't written the books. If I knew that story continued for four books, I've been like, right. I'm going to wait because I'm just going
to
do it all at once.
I need to like it all.
So I totally understand. I respect it. But there is something different, I'm sure, about being in it and being like, it's done. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the full, complete series. You can sit down. And however long it takes you, some right. readers, some of you out there, you email me way too fast and say you finished a book. Let me just tell you, I am so impressed with how fast some of my readers read. I don't know how they do it, but it is amazing. So for those of you who only need a weekend, go buy the whole series yeah. and you can read it all in a weekend.
I mean, the fourth or the third book might be, it's going to be long. Like, we don't know how long yet, but it is long. So I know you kind of face this with your series, but I had a lot of people being like, well, are you going to break it into two? And I was like, no, I'm going to keep it a trilogy. And yes. now I'm kind of like, maybe I should have done four. No, I'm happy though. I don't mind a big book.
Yeah.
And thankfully a lot of my readers have said they get excited actually when they hear that it's long. And I think you can kind of get away with that towards the end of a series.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you might've captured your reader's attention early on. And so they'll stick it out with you.
Yes.
I mean, just look at Harry Potter, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So long.
So long. Yes. No, I completely agree. The end of the series, you want it to be satisfying too. So mm-hmm. I think for readers, at least for me, I'm willing as a reader to stick right. it out for a longer book at the end. And you kind of don't want it to end as right. on super fast. You don't want it to be a rushed ending. Exactly. It's like, no, I'm happy to sit here and be in this for a little bit longer. So mm-hmm. no, I love it. Well, we're starting to run out of time here, but before we do, could you share with our listeners where they can buy book three or order on Kickstarter book three, the final book in the series and all the other books as well?
Yes, that is a great question. I think it's listed on Kickstarter under Rising from the Galaxy. So if you search that, it probably should be on my website, but I don't think I've updated that. I've had a lot going on. So there might be some notes here that you can pop that link into yes. as well. But yeah, you can just search Rising from the Galaxy and that should pop up on Kickstarter. But also my website is EAH Creative. And by the time you hear this, it will be listed on the website. So it'll all be okay. And you can also connect with me on Instagram too. And that's at Create Explore Read. And there's definitely a lot of links on there. So we got you covered.
Yes, for sure. And we'll have links to those things in the show notes. But also, could you just let our listeners know when the Kickstarter will be done? Because that is an important element. Kickstarters are not forever.
Yes. So the formal Kickstarter campaign will end on April 4th. I have decided to try the late pledges option. I'm not sure how long I will let the late pledges go. I don't know what the reasoning is, like if it's like a week or 2 weeks. I'm not quite sure where I'll land on that. I do eventually need to have hard numbers to place those orders. So I would say at least a week after the campaign, it will still be live. The prices do increase though. So definitely it's better to back during the actual campaign. And that would end on, I think, 11:59 on April 4th. Why do I do this to myself? But I do.
I understand. No, that is perfect. Good to know. And so if you are listening, this episode is going to come out before Emily's Kickstarter officially ends, and we will have links. I encourage you to go check out the series. It is so much fun. We have two other episodes that Emily and I have done together where we've talked more about the deeper themes in her books, which were both so much fun to go into. I didn't want to do that for book three because, again, spoilers. And I don't know if you're like me, you don't really want to know the end before you read it yourself. So we decided to keep that out this time and just focus on the fun of writing the last book in a series and the fun of Kickstarter. So I encourage you to listen to those old episodes, but also get the whole series. I have no doubt you're going to love it, especially if you love some romance. My friend Emily here definitely hooks you up in that area. Sweet, swoony romance. It is fantastic, but sweet and clean, nothing you have to worry about. So that is my pitch for her series. I've loved the books and I've already backed her Kickstarter. Can't wait to read book three. So Emily, thank you so much for joining us again on Read Clean YA with CJ. I loved getting to chat with you.
Thanks so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed listening in on this fun conversation with E.A. Hendricks. Emily's Kickstarter will be running for another week, and I encourage you to check out her books. They are great reads, and there are some romantic elements in the stories, more than some of the other books that we've talked about on this podcast, so that's just something to keep in mind. Yes, this is a kissing book. I also wanted to be sure to let you know that the Kickstarter for the fourth and final book in my Talionis series, Captive of Talionis, will be launching at the beginning of May and running for 3 weeks. During this time, you'll be able to purchase signed copies of all four books in the series or grab book four to complete your Talionis series collection. This is the only way to pre-order the early release copies of the story that will be given to Kickstarter backers months before the book is released wide in November in retailing stores. I also have some fun things in store for this campaign, and I can't wait to dive into it with you. I'll have a link in the show notes to the pre-launch page where you can sign up to get notified once the Kickstarter starts. Kickstarter actually sends an email to every person who's clicked that notify me on launch button as soon as I push launch, so it's the best way to know the instant the campaign begins, and so you can snag some of those early bird benefits as well. Thank you so much for listening to Read Clean YA with CJ. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend so they can discover exciting, clean young adult books too.